We're going to hear from God's Word now as Jan reads for us Psalm 121. Let's come before God in prayer and look at His Word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at Your Word now, help us to learn what this has to say to us, this side of the cross. Indeed, Lord, what it has to say to all Your people through life's difficulties and travails. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've got a bit of a confession to make. When I was on holidays, I went for a ride on my motorcycle. That's not the confession. Now, you all know that's what I do on holidays. Love riding my motorcycle. And I started at Albury, where I was staying, and I followed the Murray River upstream. So I went across out the Hume Weir on the New South Wales side, crossed over Bathanga Bridge to Bellbridge, went on to Waimea, Walwa, Tintowdra, Towong. Then I went up the Bigara Valley in Indy, which follows the Murray River, then I came back down again and went across to Cancoban, and then up the Snowy Mountain Highway, following the Murray River up to Tom Grogan, right in the upper reaches of the Murray. It's pretty much one of the highest crossing points of the Murray. And I went there and then I turned around and headed back to Albury. That's just what I do. So by the time I got back to Albury, I'd done about 500 kilometres that day. I got to Albury about 3 o'clock, as it turns out. Right on 3 o'clock, as it turns out. I'd ridden 500 kilometres, and I was feeling pretty good about my ability to ride such distances on a bike at my age. You know, those younger fellows who say, oh, how do you ride 500 kilometres a day? I just tell them how sooky they are, and I tell them how good I am. You know, I rode 500 kilometres, and I thought I was doing pretty well. Now, when I got back to Albury, I had to pick up some brake pads from a motorcycle from one of the motorcycle shops and go to another one and order a back tyre for it. So as I was doing that, I noticed as I was going through Albury that my riding was getting pretty erratic. I was taking risks that I normally don't take, weaving in and out of traffic, cutting out, you know, cutting people off. And I thought, oh, this is stupid. I mentally rebuked myself for being so dumb. You know, you're old on this, you know better than this. What are you doing, pallet? Ride bike home, put it in the shed and stop being stupid. So that's what I did. I listened to myself for a change. And I got home. When I got home, I congratulated myself on not having any accidents and not getting any infringement notices. That was good. But then I got home from holidays last Sunday. Unpacked the car. Monday, what do? You collect up all the mail and see what's happened while you're away. And I got one letter telling me that on that very day that I rode back into Albury at 3:03 p.m., I rode through a school zone at 56 kilometres an hour. I thought, rubbish. There's no school sign there. I know that intersection. So I got my son to go and take a video of it. Yeah? And he's very good, set up his dash cam. He took a video. And he took great delight in sending it to me. I just asked him to check it out, but he took a video. So it was his idea of the video. He sent it back to me, which showed three signs. Three signs, one of them warning about the traffic camera that got me and sent them back to me. And I had no leg to stand. I just paid the fine, cop it sweet. Now, this comes under the heading of a totally avoidable incident. But there are never any guarantees when we travel, are there? In fact, these days in Australia, we used to treat travel as something that we didn't need to trouble ourselves about at all. Now, the last couple of years have sort of put a bit of a twist on that, but you know, the general feeling was as long as we take the sensible precautions, buy the tickets, get to the airport on time, or make sure you've got enough cash or plastic, make sure the car's properly maintained and fueled, slow down if it's raining, stop for a rest when you're tired. These are just simple, sensible things we used to do, and travel is pretty straightforward. Whether we arrived at our destination or not seemed pretty much largely up to us. But not long ago, travel was a lot more dangerous, even in this area. In this region, bush rangers would lie in wait to rob unsuspecting travellers. The Clark brothers were very good at it. They held up the whole of Narragunda, and a policeman died on that night trying to protect the town. People died in the bush, just got lost and away. A minister was travelling from Cairn River to Bombala and got lost and died. That's how perilous travel was. Now, we don't expect to get robbed as we travel these days. Travel can seem still to be quite uncertain. Like illness can ruin a trip, can't it? Roger and Lucy, their daughter was going to drive them up to the wedding. What happened? Close contacts, couldn't go up until it was too late. She got up there, which is great, but she was going to drive Roger and Lucy up. She couldn't in the end. So that is, travel can be so uncertain. It's become commonplace to describe life as a journey. So if you want to hear someone's life story, you ask them to tell you their journey. Okay, now I kind of really don't like it very much, but you can understand why they use that terminology. A life is a journey. It begins at your birth, it finishes at your death, and all that bit in between, it's a travelling experience, it's a journey. Life, though, itself is full of unpredictable circumstances, uncertainty. Sometimes life's journey is easy and pleasant, sometimes it's difficult and it's even dangerous. And Psalm 121 is a psalm that's thought to have been written as a prayer for safe travel. It's one of those psalms that's a favourite with Christians. However, as we work through it, we'll see that it does more than just simply look to the Lord for protection as one travels. It sees God's protection in all things. And look at how Psalm 121 starts. I lift my eyes to the hills. He lifts his eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Now, the hills in the opening line here can be seen as a place of refuge, like when David says in Psalm 11 verse 1, flee like a bird to the mountains. Now, the mountains are seen as a place of refuge for the one fleeing, but more likely, as a traveller looked at the hills in those times, they would have done it with a sense of foreboding. The hills were the haunt of the very bandits and wild animals that would attack them. And where did the Clark brothers hide? Not down here on the coastal plain. They hid in the mountains, up in the bush, where they were hard to find, and where they could slip away. So the mountains can be seen as a place of danger. So as the sense of danger heightens, the natural thing to ask is, where does my help come from? Who's going to see me through this perilous situation? And the answer comes in verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So as he or she lifts their eyes and sees the hills as the place to flee from danger or the source of danger itself, their gaze goes beyond those hills, their gaze is lifted even higher, and they see their help, they see their protector is the Lord, the one who not only made those hills, but the one who made all things, the heavens and the earth. And too often as Christians we can suffer a sort of spiritual short-sightedness. I don't want to make light of the things that happen to us, but sometimes you can be travelling through life doing everything right and causing no harm to others, then everything goes horribly wrong, often through no fault of your own. And even as I was preparing for today, I started to feel a bit overwhelmed. I've been struggling to get my brain working since my time off. When I have a holiday, I do it properly. I just shut the brain down, okay? Not that it's that hard to do, okay? I just stop. I don't think, I don't make plans for what's going to happen when I get back. I just shut down. That's what I feel I need to do. So when I come back, sometimes, it seems to be taking longer each time as I get older. Getting the brain working again takes a bit of effort. So I was struggling to get my brain working again. I sat down feeling a bit overwhelmed to start the sermon preparation and read, I lift my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It was something of a rebuke to me for all the worrying I've been doing. Why are you getting overwhelmed with this? This is not a chore you're doing, this is a privilege. We need to remember that the one we rely on for help, the one on whom our life and hope is built, is the one who created all things. Keeping our focus on God instead of focusing on our immediate problems will help us keep our difficulties in perspective. So having directed our gaze to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, Psalm 121 continues in verse 3 to spell out what it means to have the creator of all things have his help. It says, he will not let your foot slip, he who watches over you will not slumber. So the Lord's protection is seen in the prevention of injury. You know, he will not let your foot slip, the protection against accident. And it's also when one is sleeping, the Lord will not slumber. Okay, when one sleeps, now, sleep's necessary on a journey, isn't it? When you're travelling, especially when they were travelling on foot. They wouldn't always get to sleep in a town. So when one's travelling on a foot, you sleep, you've got to do it. It's a thing, it's a necessity. But that's when you are most vulnerable. You know, that's when a wild animal is most likely to attack you, when your guard's down. That's when thieves are most likely to strike, when you're unable to defend yourself. So the time of slumbering, while necessary, was where you were most vulnerable. The verse 3 tells us that the Lord keeps a continual watch. Indeed, verse 4 assures us, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, when we read of the Lord who watches over Israel, we need to understand how that applies to us. In Psalm 121, hope is in the Lord God's help based on the relationship that God had with the nation of Israel as his chosen people. However, God's promises to bring people of every tribe and nation to himself, which found their partial fulfillment through Israel, but their final and complete fulfillment in Jesus, that's different. Okay? Now when we read the promises of God's blessing made to Israel in the Old Testament of the Bible, we can know that through Jesus these promises are made for us. So we could read verse 4 as saying, indeed, he who watches over the church, or even better, he who watches over God's people will neither slumber nor sleep. We are assured that the one we rely on for our whole life's journey will not be caught napping. He's always on high alert. Nothing will ever take him by surprise. So we can draw comfort from knowing that no matter what's going on in our life, whether it's deliriously grand or despairingly awful, our Heavenly Father knows exactly what's happening to us. Verse 5 emphasises just how close our God is to us. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. Now, it's one thing to know that God's watching over all people. That's nice. But it's even better to know that God watches over you individually. Verse 5 shows us that God's not just watching us from a distance, looking down at his people all over the earth. God's protection and provision is for the individual believer. It's up close, personal, it's intimate. We can understand the Lord being your shade, as it says there, him being close, like your own shadow. Verse 6, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Now this verse uses a form of expression used in Hebrew poetry where two opposites are used to express a totality. So you've got the sun by day, or its opposite, the moon by night, and everything in between. So in other words, at all times, God's watching over you. No harm will come to you while the Lord God's looking over you. And as verse 7 says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Or the English Standard Version puts it this way, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Now, these are wonderful words to hear, aren't they? To hear the Lord's personal care and protection of you, to hear how he will allow no evil to overtake you, these are encouraging things to hear. These are great words, but there's a problem. As you go through life, it is inevitable that you will experience hardship. Some of these things will be merely inconvenient. Some of them will be utterly devastating. And eventually, we're all going to go through the challenge where we face death and go through that final door. So, how does what Psalm 121, with its promise of unfailing protection, stack up against these facts? Well, like we did from the start, we need to look beyond the immediate and up close and allow our view to take in the broad and the eternal. The last verse of Psalm 121 does this, just like the opening two verses did. Verse 6, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That's verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So here we're given the big picture. When we look at what we want and need, our vision is limited by what we are. We are finite beings. We have a beginning, we have an end. This life on earth is all we know, this is all we experience. And we're limited by that. We're limited in what we can do, we're limited in what we can see, we're limited in what we can understand. However, God, the God who made us, he has no such limitations. He is eternal, infinite in his being. He is all powerful. Nothing is beyond his capabilities. And he knows all things. All eventualities are known to him. There is nothing that takes God by surprise. So God's care and provision for us takes in the whole of our existence. We cannot know how the things that happen to us now will impact on us in the future, but God knows. Psalm 121 encourages us to look beyond our present circumstances and recognise that God's care and protection are not just for the whole of our life, but they're forever. Now, we only think of life as what we're experiencing now. But God sees beyond that into eternity. And his people are with him for eternity. He is the God who watches over our coming and our going, the whole of our existence, right here and now, and forevermore. Now, the last 2.5 years have been pretty unsettling for us, with the fires, the pandemic, and all the upheaval that came with it. Then there's our world, the worrying things we see as superpowers flex their muscles and try to exert their will on others that they see as inferior. We all know people, even fellow Christians, who are struggling with why God has allowed some of these things, or some or all of these things, to happen. What we need to do when we're at a loss to understand why some of these things have happened to us is to remember the character of the eternal God who cares for us. Excuse me. After all, he's the God who knew us and set us apart as his own before the foundation of the earth. He is the God who has not abandoned rebellious humanity, but has revealed himself to us throughout the ages and most completely in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God who has loved the world so completely that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, so whoever believes in him will receive forgiveness of sin and life everlasting. Our God, the maker of heaven and earth, has dealt graciously with us. He's put us into the situation where we've heard the good news of Jesus. He sent his Holy Spirit to awaken belief in us, to awaken within us faith in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, God has promised that he will always be with us, even to the ends of the earth. This is the character of the God we worship, the one true God. Now, when we're experiencing times of uncertainty or times of great difficulty, we need to remember the character of our God, the God who allows us to call him our Heavenly Father. He is the God who has used the most awful of events, that is the unjust execution of his Son Jesus, to satisfy his eternal justice and bring us forgiveness. Even now, Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us, for those who have faith in him. By looking beyond our immediate difficulties and keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, we can know our God is watching over us, both now and forevermore. It's easy to get overwhelmed with the things of this world. And sometimes when you look back and look at the things that have overwhelmed you, sometimes, when it happens to me, I'm thinking, why am I worrying about that in the first place? But they do. They build up. And at the time, sometimes you just don't have the right perspective. that by keeping our eyes fixed on the Creator of the heavens and the earth, by keeping our eyes fixed on the One who has saved us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by keeping our eyes fixed on the One who loves us and calls us His children, we are able to see things in the right perspective. We can know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, whether they be good times or bad. We can know that there is an eternity with our Lord where there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering for those who come to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has promised an eternity of blessing for His people, where we enjoy being what we were created for, to worship God and enjoy Him forever. That's the God we worship. That's the God who saved us. That's the God in whom our faith is put. So let's come before Him now in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that in Jesus we can know that our feet are secure, our way is clear, our protection is assured, for You are the God who watches over us both now and forevermore. We thank You that You keep us, Lord, through all of life's difficulties. We thank You, Lord, that we can even face death without fear, for You are the God who watches over us, not just for this life, but for all the time. Heavenly Father, help us to remember these great truths as we face difficulties in our life. Help us to keep them in perspective, Lord. And we ask this, Lord, that You'd help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and see Your love fulfilled in Him. And we pray all this in His name. Amen.